Senator John Cornyn has voted time and time again against Obamacare. He brings Texas common sense to an often senseless Washington. Balanced budget amendment, repeal the death tax, lower taxes, proposed no budget, no pay. Senator Cornyn got an A from the NRA. Americans for Tax Reform gave him 100% rating. The National Journal named him the second most conservative senator in America.
Hi, this is John Cornyn. It's an important time for Texas to stand strong in Washington with a liberal president and liberal majority in the Senate. In Texas, we know bigger government's not the answer. Government's too big and unaccountable already.
Senator John Cornyn, conservative, like you, like Texas.
I'm John Cornyn, candidate for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message, paid for by Texans for Senator John Cornyn, Inc.
All right, back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Remember, you can follow along on Facebook, on Twitter, where the show continues all day long. A lot to get into still on today's program. Let's go to the phones, talk with our good friend from MustReadTexas.com, Matt Makoviak, also GOP strategist. Matt, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for allowing us to give you a call today. I know a lot going on in Texas politics and national, dealing with some Texas politicians. I want to ask you first, right as we were coming back from the break, we had an ad from Senator John Cornyn, yeah, who is, you know, he's been dropping a lot of money on some ads. What do you make of that? I mean, he really doesn't have a big opponent right now as far as Republicans go. I think there have been one or two guys step up and say they're going to run, but he doesn't have that big competitor just yet. Is he just trying to prevent anyone from running against him?
Yeah, look, he's playing offense, and one of his advantages in seeking re-election is I believe he has about $7 million in the bank. And so that in and of itself discourages opponents. And listen, I know some of your audience members are disappointed Senator Cornyn chose not to vote with Senator Cruz on the defund Obamacare effort. Personally, I was disappointed too. I support what Ted's done on that. But I think if you step back and say, is John Cornyn a conservative? I think it's very hard to make an argument that he's not a conservative. I think if you ask 100 senators, up in the United States Senate, you know, almost every single one of them would say that John Cornyn is conservative. Is he as conservative as Ted Cruz? No. Is he as stylistically perhaps appealing as someone like Ted Cruz? No. But, you know, I hear from a lot of my friends in the conservative movement that they want to see Cornyn primaried and they might be vulnerable. You know, the reason I don't think that that's the case, that if you're in politics, if you're truly vulnerable, opponents run against you. And to this point, we haven't had a serious candidate step forward to run against Cornyn on the Republican or the Democratic side. Now, they're trying to recruit someone. There's lots of names floating around. You've only got 6 weeks or so till the filing deadline in Texas for the March primary. So we'll see where this goes. But I think Cornyn is tired of being criticized for not being a, quote, conservative, and he's starting to play offense. He's doing that on your radio show with television ads, with radio ads. He's got TV ads that have started as well, but I saw one on Fox a few days ago. So he is definitely starting to be more aggressive. I think that's probably a smart tactical move on their campaign's part.
Yeah, and of course, his staff is working overtime on this. And today, I think it was today, if not yesterday, it came out that one of the Right to Life organizations, it might have been Texas Right to Life or whoever it may be, came out and supported him.
Sure. Yeah, and you're going to find, you know, all the conservative groups in Texas and nationally are probably going to endorse Cornyn, with a few exceptions. Some of these outside groups that have played in primaries may withhold their support. I could think of a group like FreedomWorks as perhaps being one of them. But again, I think, you know, there are a lot more ripe targets. If you want a primary Republican in the United States Senate, there are a lot more ripe targets than John Cornyn. I mean, I can think of Lindsey Graham in South Carolina as being a lot more ripe than Cornyn. And so again, you know, this could be much ado about nothing. 6 weeks from now, if a serious candidate hasn't stepped forward, Cornyn won't have a primary, which I think is the most likely scenario ultimately. And look, we've got I think 36 members of Congress from Texas. I want to say probably 25 or 26 of them are Republican. They'd all love to be in the United States Senate. Not one of them has stepped forward to primary John Cornyn. And it's for two reasons. Number one, they believe he's conservative. And number two, they don't believe he's vulnerable. I mean, ultimately, again, you know, ambitious politicians step up and run against vulnerable, weak incumbents.
Yeah.
It's the law of politics. It's true on either side of the aisle. And no one has stepped forward against Cornyn. It's for those two reasons I just said.
Visiting with Matt Mikoviak, GOP strategist, co-founder, mustreadtexas.com. Let's look at the other senator from the state of Texas. Obviously,
yeah.
He's been enjoying a lot of press, good and bad. There are a lot of publications out there, the Washington Post, some others that have said that what's good for Ted Cruz is not good for the Republican Party, that members like Ted Cruz are bringing down the Republican Party. And then there are others like Newt Gingrich going, that's just stupid. that's just silliness. Where do you come down on this?
Yeah, you're seeing a real divide right now. I was privileged to be at a private gathering with Senator Cruz in D.C. on Thursday and heard from him at length about the defund effort and the shutdown and where he thinks it's headed. And look, I don't think anyone knows what the end game is. I think we are going to have an end game, at least a temporary end game before Thursday, that will at least address the debt limit and perhaps also address this defund Obamacare shutdown issue. But, you know, look, I just think what I found appealing about this from the very beginning is finally someone in the Republican Party is fighting. You know, it's been so easy for the House Republicans to vote to repeal Obamacare 42 times. I'm glad they've done it. I would have voted with them, too, had I been in Congress. But at the end of the day, none of those bills came over to the Senate because Harry Reid blocked them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were taking votes that didn't ultimately impact American public policy. And what was different about the Cruz thing is he took a moment of leverage and he forced a major public fight on Obamacare. Now, again, I know these polls are showing Republicans are getting blamed more than Democrats. Number one, I don't believe these polling entities are interested in showing this helping the Republicans. I think we need to start with a little bit of sort of, you know, doubt about their motives.
Yeah.
But again, I think what's so appealing about this is Cruz is standing up, he's making an argument, he's picking a fight, he's demonstrating courage. I'm not sure where this ends up, and the history books may ultimately say this was a losing battle. But to me, picking a big battle on Obamacare was a fight worth having. We need to have bright, bold differences with Democrats. We lose when we don't. And we've seen that with moderate presidential nominees like Bob Dole and John McCain and Mitt Romney and Bush 41 the second time around. You go down the line. And when we have bold conservatives like Ronald Reagan, we can succeed at the national level who are willing to win an argument and demonstrate courage and demonstrate, you know, that they have conservative principles they're going to fight for. So I do come down the Cruz side. I wish Republicans were united on this. You note that, as my friend Lynn Woolley says, that radio host in Central Texas, Democrats are united. Why are Republicans not united? You don't see any Democrats splitting with their leadership, but you see a lot of Republicans who are racing television cameras to split with Ted Cruz and the conservatives. And I think that that's hurt this effort. I think if Republicans were united, we'd be in a stronger position on this than we are right now.
Yeah, I think so. And let me ask you about this. The Republican Party in general, do you think that if Republicans cave, and they don't have a big win, you know, on Friday it looked like that's exactly what was going to happen. I still think
right.
The administration and Democrats are going, we got Republicans right where we want them. We're going to pressure them a little bit more. If Republicans walk away from this and they don't have a win other than the medical device tax, does that hurt the Republican Party with Republicans?
I think it hurts the Republican Party with conservatives. This reminds you a lot of buying a new car or a used car, right? You show up, the sticker price says $15,000. You walk in and you say, listen, I love this car. I'm going to buy it for $10,000. That's the most I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the salesperson says, I'm sorry, I really don't have any room. I can only do $15,000. And then you say, well, you know what? I can actually do $13,000. I forgot I had $3,000 I have access to. You now have basically moved your own position from $10,000 to $13,000, and you're not going to get it now for less than $13,000. And that's what Republicans have done in the last couple of days by putting forward sort of a, you can call it a cave, but certainly a plan to try to get around the shutdown with some sort of weak, you know, policy victories, some weak concessions. We've now moved in their direction. They've moved zero from the very beginning. The president won't negotiate. Senator Harry Reid won't negotiate. Meanwhile, they're spending government taxpayer dollars to put up barricades at World War II Memorial. You know, they're doing absolutely nothing to move in our direction, and we can't wait to move in their direction. And so I do think there is a risk if they cave at the sort of leadership level of sort of a revolution among conservatives. I don't know how that, what form that takes or how serious it is, but it seems to me, you know, if we're going to pick this fight, we might as well run it all the way, you know, have it run its course and really try to win some positive policy concessions from the administration. That's what this is all about. It's about relieving Americans from Obamacare. And if we can't get defund, we should get a delay. If we can't get a delay, we should get something along the lines of the Vitter Amendment, along the lines of the medical device tax, along the lines of something else. There are a lot of positive policy concessions that we can win here, but we can't win if we're surrendering. And so my hope is that leadership will choose not to do that, because this fight is worth having, and this is ultimately about helping the American people.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I will know by Thursday at least a little bit of what may happen. Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, what can folks find on Must Read Texas this morning?
Yeah, two stories I'd point to. One is Politico has a story that Rick Perry is appearing in some television ads that start running tomorrow nationally. For that nonprofit Americans for Economic Freedom that he's launched, going against running against D.C. and running talking about the positive vision that Republican governors have across the country. That's a six-figure national television buy. The second thing is the Texas Tribune and University of Texas have a new poll showing 52% of voters are likely to support the water constitutional amendment this November, only 19% opposing, and I think it was 24% undecided. So those are the, I'd say, top two stories on Must Read Texas this morning. Your audience can sign up for the fabulous morning newsletter at MustReadTexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak. You can also follow him on Twitter as well. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. We'll be right back here on the Chad Hastie Show.